What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Tuesday. Hope everyone is having an amazing, blessed, and humbling Tuesday. I really do.
It is a humbling Tuesday because I felt that yesterday was a particularly long day.
It never ended. It never motherfucking ended. And literally, by the time it was time to go to bed, of course, I couldn't fall asleep. I'm like, the day wouldn't fucking end.
The day wouldn't end. And I actually think the reason why I felt like the day was so long is because, like, it actually was a really long day. We're heading into the summer solstice.
Yeah.
So the days are, like, getting to be the longest they've ever been. Like, I was literally sitting on my bed at 8 o'clock and it was still bright out. And I'm like, can I go to sleep yet?
Yeah, no, there was just some, like, weird shit going on in the universe yesterday, and it was pissing me off.
It was just such a long day. I ate dinner so early, and then 2 hours later, I was like, I need another dinner. Yeah. And then 2 hours after my second dinner, I needed a third.
I have to say, there is a time in your life, it's called BSD and ASD, before second dinner and after second dinner. When you come to a point in your adult life, you realize, like, you really, like, aren't living until you have two dinners. Everything changes after that. Like, a light dinner at, like, 6 and then, like, a big heavy dinner at 8. Like, there's literally, actually, maybe opposite. Like, big dinner at, like, 6:30 and then, like, a second little, you know, leftovers at 8:30. It's such a game changer and it's such a fabulous, like, lifestyle change. I really recommend it.
I'm usually okay with the one dinner. It was too early and it was too small. Yeah. And then all night
and the day was too long.
And the day was too damn long. All night I was just like, and then Zach ordered food, so I was like eating his dinner. Mm. And then it was just like, I couldn't stop eating.
That sounds fun.
You know, things happen like that sometimes.
You're talking to the queen.
So, it was just crazy. And it was weird because The Bachelorette was on last night, and I had the time and the space to watch it, but I still chose not to.
We're going to talk a little bit in the TV recap about our journeys with the season of The Bachelorette, but I just want to say I'm so excited for today's episode. One, because we're just a couple of fabulous girls in fabulous outfits doing fabulous things on our fabulous set in our fabulous town, somewhat fabulous town. But also, we have, I would say, maybe the most famous person who's ever been on our show joining us at the end of this episode. We recorded an interview over Zoom, podcast and video on YouTube with Chelsea Handler, who is now a fellow podcaster. She has a new podcast called Dear Chelsea, and it is like an advice podcast. So we decided to do Dear Toasters with her. So we are getting extra lucky and getting two Dear Toasters this week, today and tomorrow. So if you're listening as a podcast, the interview will be at the end of this episode. And if you're watching on YouTube, we have our Zoom interview up with her in a separate video. So that's just very exciting.
Very exciting. So if you wrote into Dear Toasters, some of you are getting advice straight from Chelsea.
And she was cutthroat. Like, she didn't have any time. Honestly, I wish I was more like that. Like, and I really already feel like I am a little bit like that, but she was just very cutthroat, like, made a decision and stuck with it, which is just not, like, what I do.
Yeah, we are always, you know, on the fence. We're the fence girlies.
Yeah. If you, like, we stand for nothing, you know? Like, we're just, like,
I think we stand for everything.
Really, I sit for most things. But she was, like, every time, like, we give advice, I'm just like, yeah, well, maybe. And then, no, actually, I don't know.
I'm like, you can either do this or that, the two choices that you do have.
Right, no, and she was just like, cut them out. Like, she was just very cutthroat, and she was giving really good advice, and it was really cool to talk to her. So that'll be at the end of the episode. But before that, we have just tons to discuss.
We have tons to discuss. We have some great news stories. And, yeah, other than that, my day yesterday was, like, busy with work stuff, you know, meetings, booked and busy. Even though I was so tired yesterday, I made it to the treadmill, which I was proud of myself for doing that. And other than that, it was just a beautiful day spent with Brew. Like, what can I say?
There's literally not much else that you can ask for.
Yeah.
As a human being.
He's just been, like, really extra special lately. And I want to do something special for him.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I always, like, want to take him somewhere, show him the world.
Yeah.
And so it's, like, last time when we took him away in March, we went on a little vacation, little family vacation with Brew.
Did he have the best time?
He had so much fun, but it was a little too cold. Now it's a little too hot. I just feel like It might be Brews Weekend.
Yeah. Brews Day.
Brews Day. How's
Doo-doo-doo? Doo-doo-doo's good. He's getting groomed today. It's just, you know, it's so exciting being his mother, and I'm so humbled, honored, and really blessed to be a part of his life and his journey on this earth.
Yeah, no, he's a special one, and we miss him today. But we also, not only does he have spa services, but we have such a great guest today that we really wore our Tuesday best for.
Yeah, it's really a wonderful guest.
It's extremely wonderful. So you'll find out who it is tomorrow.
But in the meantime, enjoy today's.
And let's hope that between now and an hour from now,
this person
doesn't cancel for one reason or another, because we said that there was a person coming on the show.
You know what? I actually think, like, the person is already en route to the studio.
The person is on the way.
So, like, there's literally no way that this person could cancel.
Yeah. So,
but you never know, because we are constantly finding new ways to be canceled.
Right. But we do look forward to speaking to this person.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's that on that, and you'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah. So let's dive in, because I have a lot of thoughts on a lot of things that are going on.
Okay. So without further ado, where are you not here getting spa services? It is time for the Fast Five Stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And, you know, it's like coming back home. Today's episode is brought to you by Scentbird. Mm. Have you ever had someone come up to you and say, "You smell amazing. What perfume are you wearing?" Whatever scent you may be wearing, you have good taste and you know what you like. But your great taste is also expensive, and you end up with a shelf full of half-used bottles, or you've been wearing the same two perfumes for years because going out to buy a new one is a hassle. With Scentbird, we have found a way to have great taste and mix up our fragrance routine without breaking the bank. Whether it's Tom Ford, Gucci, or Versace, Scentbird.com keeps us smelling good month after month. So I've tried many perfumes from Scentbird, and I actually just got a whole new package of them, but their Rag & Bone fragrances are so good. The Malin & Goats ones are so fresh, and that's two companies I never even would have tried.
I'm a Bulgari girly.
Of course you are. So Scentbird is a fragrance subscription service that gives you the opportunity to shop from over 600 brands. It is a flexible subscription, so you can skip any month without penalties. Scentbird lets you choose a new designer fragrance to try every month for just $16. Every month, you get to pick what you want to receive, so there are no surprises. They have perfumes and colognes and a lot of unisex options as well. You choose the perfume you want to try, and they'll send you a 30-day supply. The best part is that you get, like, a travel-friendly, on-the-go size perfume, because you don't need a whole bottle if you don't end up liking it, or you do end up liking it, you can just get it again the next month. And they come in these fabulous little compact travel cases that are just great to have, like, period. Mm-hmm. They carry top designer brands like Prada, Gucci, and Versace, and if you're not type of what scent you're looking for, you can sort and find your new fragrance by brand, style, occasion, and more. And we have an exclusive offer for our listeners. You can get 30% off your first month today. That's only $11 for your first fragrance. Go to scentbird.com and use the code TOAST for 30% off your first month. Again, that's scentbird.com for you to try your first perfume or cologne for just $11.
Sign on, smell amazing. Ooh, it feels so good.
So good.
Okay, first story. Some crazy news. Drake Bell, the star of Drake and Josh, has been charged for crimes against a child in Ohio. Drake Bell, the former star of the Nickelodeon show Drake and Josh, has been charged on two counts of crimes against a child in Ohio. He is referred to by his first name, Jared, in the court documents.
What?
Yep, he went to Jared and was charged with the attempted endangering of children, a fourth-degree felony, and disseminating matter harmful to juveniles, a first-degree misdemeanor in 2017.
Okay, what are those charges? Is that like child porn? Disseminating harmful...
Disseminating matter harmful to juveniles could also be like drugs or alcohol.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right? It could. These are very vague charges. I need a lawyer.
The charges are vague.
The story is so... I mean, it's not bizarre. If you've been following, like, kind of the Drake and Josh of it all since Drake and Josh, you know, one of them is doing one thing and one of them is doing the other thing, and they couldn't be more different.
Yeah.
And Drake has kind of been on this troubled path for a while. And this is just terrible.
This is terrible. Like, when you're crimes
against the kids.
Yeah, yeah. When you're committing crimes against children.
When you're the camper criminal, like, that's not cool.
No, not at all whatsoever. So hopefully we get a little more clarity as to what these crimes were.
Yeah.
But really, really crazy.
I was actually thinking recently about how, like, we report on so many stories that we never get follow-ups on.
Yeah.
What the fuck happened to Jake Paul's house?
I know.
Why did the FBI raid it?
I don't know.
Whatever happened to Josh Duggar?
Because we never heard about... Well, Josh Duggar, this is new. Like, it's ongoing.
What happened next? It's been like 2 months.
I think it's been like 2 weeks.
No, because Taylor Strucker was here.
Oh. I'm sure, like, you could find out. But I'm not... No offense. I'm not going to...
No, I'm just saying,
I'm not, like, going to keep y'all abreast on the Duggars. I saw the craziest headline about the Duggars today.
So did I.
About
Jill?
Jill and the dog.
And what?
And the dog and the breast milk.
Yes. Yes. What?
Jill Duggar, according to this headline, allegedly,
she's defending her decision.
She's defending her decision to give unused breast milk to her dog.
And I just feel like, honestly, what goes on in people's homes is truly none of my business. And I do wish we kept it that way. Like, I don't need to know. This is like the beauty, and it's a blessing and a curse with the internet. You know, you get to know about more people and learn about their lives. But some people be out here on the internet just like sharing way too much fucking information. And I'm not interested in Jill Duggar breastfeeding her dog. Because now I have like just a mental image of her, you know, Rottweiler hanging off her nip. But like, I just didn't need that today.
No, no, I don't think that the Rottweiler is breastfeeding.
But that is the image that went in my mind because I'm fucked up.
Oh, yeah, you definitely are.
Yeah.
Also, a little more details about the case with Drake Bell is that the public information officer told CBS News that he alleged that a female juvenile victim filed a report with her local police department in October 2018. She claims that the alleged incident with Bell occurred at a nightclub in Cleveland in Ohio in 2017. Still not really sharing what
it is. But why did it take so long?
But it also was crimes against a child, so maybe that stuff is sealed.
Yes. I don't support Drake Bell, so like...
Yeah. No, like you could either be a Drake or you could be a Josh.
And I'm choosing to be a Josh who has like a child and a nice marriage and he has a new show on Disney+.
And
Plus.
He's an influencer.
He has a podcast.
Yeah, I agree.
Ben has been on his podcast.
Check it out.
So yeah, I'm much more of a... In this world, don't be a Drake. Be a Josh.
100%.
Yeah, and that's the lesson of the day, kids.
Are you ready for our next story?
Sure.
It's a little fashion news from a couple of fashion influencers.
It's a little fashion news from a couple of Maxinistas.
No, I never said I was a Maxinista.
Oh, I'm
that's a title you
I am
hold.
Definitely a Maxinista. And Jackie, whether you want to admit it or not, we've all got a little Maxinista in us.
That's true. That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, you're thrifty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not all the time, but you can be quite thrifty.
I can be. I really can be. You saw that shirt I was wearing yesterday. I've had that shirt for 6 years.
Thrifty.
I wore it on Say Yes to the Dress, Claudia's episode.
Yes, you did.
Real ones will remember.
Real ones will remember.
Okay. Next story, fashion news. Kanye West's first Gap Yeezy collab has dropped. The first item and only item is a $200 blue jacket with no zipper. He wore it a few weeks ago, and now Gap posted a video of it on their Instagram page, and they took out a huge ad in the paper this morning. One page jacket, the other page QR code to buy the jacket. I like the jacket.
I just want to say two things really quickly. One, speaking of stories we like never get a follow-up on, like we talked about the Kanye Yeezy Gap collection like literally 2 years ago, and like now it's here, okay? We finally got a follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
And two, totally unrelated, but remember how we were saying how Kris Jenner was wearing that 818 vest?
Yeah.
I bought it.
Oh my gosh.
They made merch.
I saw.
I bought it.
I can't believe you bought it.
It was a little expensive. I bought it and I'll probably like never wear it, but it's a collector's item.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other merch was truly heinous.
I was hoping they would sell those like bucket hats that were
not
at the party that were giveaways, because I looked at the merch site.
Yeah, it was like very basic, but the
I saw
vest
the vest
was cool.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'm happy for you.
I have to go skiing.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, where the fuck else do you wear a vest?
It's like a down vest.
It's like a vest. You wear a turtleneck underneath.
I don't know. A vest is a hard item.
Yeah. So I'll just wear it like if we ever go skiing again.
Okay.
Like to the lodge for some cocoa. Okay. Or no, for some 818.
And I'll be wearing this Gap Yeezy jacket.
It's cool. Yeah. I mean.
I like it. I mean, it's like on the one hand, looks like a jacket. On the other hand, it is innovative. Like, and it's made out of recycled nylon. And also, like, that's not a really the sort of puffer we've ever seen.
Yes. It's a fresh take on the down puffer.
And Kanye's always fresh.
Always. I mean, honestly, I hadn't even seen this. I do find myself like staying less and less abreast with Kanye, like after the Kim of it all. I can't lie.
I'm taking both sides in the divorce. I'm supporting both artists, designers.
Yeah, me too. But like gun to my head, I'm with Kim, you know?
No, I understand. But I'm with both of them.
Okay.
Also,
I think we all support Kim and Kanye.
Also, Chloe posted this morning. It's Kanye's birthday today.
Yes.
And so she posted the cutest picture ever of her, Tristan, Kim, and Kanye saying, happy birthday to my forever brother, yay. And it just warmed my heart. She also posted some pictures yesterday of the kids.
The kids, the campers were looking so fucking
that
cute.
That warmed my heart.
Matching
oh my God.
Purple outfits. Dream was in there, you know, just like everyone else.
Dream, true, and Chicago, and then
Natalie
also Natalie Halcross Bebe, who's a little younger than the
yes,
others.
But still wore purple.
But still wore purple. And the three Kardashian kids who were matching were just like so cute. It just touched me.
There's also, I thought what you were going to say is like, there's so much going on with Chloe. Like, she is like just starting drama left, right, and center. She did like an Instagram story yesterday, just like kind of like shaming people who use one-use plastic water bottles. And like everyone on the planet was like, girl, like, are you serious? Like, okay, you use a Hydro Flask, good for you, but like you literally throw parties like every single day with like 1,000 balloons that are not recyclable. Like, just the list of what Chloe does not to help the environment is probably longer than the list of things she does do to help the environment. So it was just like a little hypocritical. And then there was like another photo of her like looking like Khloe Kardashian. And then people were like going in, making fun of her for her migraine commercial. Like, she's just not, was not having a good social media day yesterday.
Oh, why were they, those migraine commercials have been out for a while.
No, I know. And like True's in them. Like, they're so cute. Yeah, they're
eating popcorn on the couch.
Yeah, I don't know what the problem with the migraine commercial is, because millions of Americans suffer from migraines. I'm literally in the process. Did I not say 20 minutes ago, I'm getting a migraine right now. Like, millions of Americans. So, Chloe, get that back. That doesn't bother me. The hypocrisy of, like, the whole single plastic water thing was, like, a little stupid.
No, and she was called out. And I'm sure when she saw it that way, she was like, oh shit. Oh, yeah.
Good call. Sorry. Yeah. And, like, flying private jets, like, on one-hour flights. Like, that's just also not great for the environment. Like, it was just a little hypocritical.
I totally agree. So, yeah.
So, she was just not having a good day on social media yesterday. And she was, like, doing her best to, like, combat it, but she just shouldn't have started with the internet, because like the internet has really not been happy with Khloe Kardashian for like the last 2 years.
Well, I just want to say, someone who follows Khloe, but I don't keep up with all the drama like you do. I saw the water bottle thing. I didn't see the migraine thing, and I didn't see the Khloe Kardashian
stuff. It was all on Twitter, and I know you stay away from Twitter.
I do stay away from Twitter, but I did see the picture of the cutest campers and then the double date she posted this morning that was clearly from Kim's birthday. And I just, it really brightened my day.
Oh, you know, I don't know if we ever also spoke about this. We have like a lot of Kardashian catching up to do. This is the Kardashian catch up. We're literally keeping up with the Kardashians. A lot of people were convinced that Kim, we found out on the show that she actually ended up having COVID, that everyone thought that she got it from her trip. She said that she got it from Saint because he got it from someone at school. But do you think she got it on the trip?
No, not at all. I thought the timeline of everything was so weird, because she had like no time in between her birthday and like doing the thing for Chris's birthday. And then also like then she got COVID, but then it's like the holidays. And so I'm not sure when exactly she got COVID. I don't think it was from the trip, because other people would have had it too.
Yeah.
Also, they could have easily not shared that.
That's what I was going to say. Like, if she did end up getting COVID from a trip that she got so much backlash for, she never would have shared it. Because then it's like everyone who gave her, you know, shit for going on a trip would have been right. And I don't think she would have given people that satisfaction.
It never crossed my mind.
Yeah, no, but the internet was like convinced that like she got it on the trip.
The internet can be wrong, you guys. That's an important lesson.
More often than not, the internet is wrong. And morally corrupt internet.
Yeah. No, the internet, like, doesn't know shit about fuck sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're onto something, you know?
100%.
Sometimes, like, a little gut instinct from some random tweet, Hilaria Baldwin. Literally, the craziest thing to me is that the global scandal that was Hillary Baldwin started from a random Twitter user, like, just a thread of all the times Hilaria Baldwin pretended to, you know, have a Spanish background.
Yeah.
And that's literally what started this global news story. And that is, like, a moment where, like, the internet is, like,
same with all the Ellen stuff.
Yes.
It was, like, a tweet, like, share your worst experience with Ellen. And then everyone, like, came out of the woodwork.
And I'll donate $1 for every person who shares to, like, a food pantry.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, like, a lot of also more things going on with Ellen. She's, like, gearing up for, like, this enormous...
final season. All the guests are coming out.
Yeah. And didn't she also do an interview recently where she, like, spoke about her cancellation, how it was, like, this orchestrated, like, smear campaign against her? Maybe I had a dream about that. I literally
can't. That doesn't sound familiar. And also, like, I don't think that it started, like, grassroots.
Right. No, I actually think I actually had a dream about it.
Oh, interesting. Your dreams are so, like, trending and up to date.
100%.
But they could confuse your real life.
Do you know who I dreamt about last night?
Me?
Speaking of trendy and up to date, like, things we've been talking about.
Addison Rae.
Logan Paul.
Okay. What was he doing?
We were all going out together, and I was on the Impulsive show.
That's so cool.
I think I might have been, like, watching on TikTok, and, like, some clips from his podcast, like, came up.
And I sent you that video of Jake Paul that, like...
Yes, that meme. Yeah. So, like, I just think the Pauls were on my mind.
Oh, by the way...
I think I'm also, like, in love with Logan.
Also, yesterday when I said that Logan and Jake should fight each other, and I thought it was a new idea, like apparently everybody's been saying that. So why don't they do it? They're probably saving it. Like,
yeah, I think they also want to, like, use the momentum they both have to establish themselves as real boxers and then, like, and build fight up the other hype boxers
for the fight against the two of them.
Yeah. Also, when does it come out? How many people bought that pay-per-view, Floyd Mayweather, Logan Paul? I haven't seen it.
I don't know.
I'm so curious.
So curious.
Because I want to know how much Logan made. He only got 10% of the bag. But he also, I followed him on Instagram this morning. I never followed him before. And his shorts had like a million sponsors. Atari was a sponsor. His own clothing company was a sponsor. Fashion Nova. It was like very like influencer-y. So I'm curious how much just that sponsorship. He made more, obviously, than just like the pay-per-view bag.
For sure. And so did Floyd, because he had an OnlyFans hat. He had Fashion Nova on his shorts.
He had the Money Team sponsored everywhere. So like it was just it was synergy at its finest. It was vertical integration.
No, it was a very capitalist event.
Truly.
Okay, well, the Yeezy jacket is here. Go check it out. I want to get one, but I like feel like I don't know how to go and get it.
Well,
you know?
Yeah. Is it like a, like, is it going to sell out? But it's the Gap. So is it everywhere? Like, I don't know how these things work.
I don't know what the supply and chain of command is.
It's pre-order.
Oh, so I should get one. I'll get here right in time for winter. I'll be so cool.
Yeah, it's a very cool concept.
Yeah, very, very cool. Okay, next up, a little casting news that is just so exciting because one, just found out we are getting an NBC version of Annie Live. And two, Taraji P. Henson will be playing Miss Hannigan in some apt casting news.
In some casting news. That is literally like one of the best cast
so
roles.
On point.
Yeah.
The Oscar-nominated actress will play Miss Hannigan, the infamous head of the orphanage where Annie lives before she is adopted by Daddy Warbucks.
Daddy Warbucks should be Jeff Bezos.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, bring back Victor Garber. He was so
excellent.
Good. She is following in the footsteps of actresses such as Kathy Bates, Cameron Diaz, Jane Lynch, Nell Carter,
Jane Lynch?
She must have done
Broadway?
Like a lot. Yeah. Because she wasn't in the movie.
No, Cameron Diaz was in the movie and Kathy Bates.
Kathy Lee Gifford, Sally Struthers, Joanne Worley, and Faith Prince, to name a few. I mean, I thought Cameron Diaz also did a really good job.
Unbelievable. I think, like, it's really a great role, and it takes a great woman to do it, and I think Taraji P. Henson is going to be excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited to see. First of all, Annie's just one of those shows that they could, like, do a million times. It can't really get spoiled. Like, it can't get outdone. We've had so many Annies. Like, we just had the Quvenzhané Wallace.
Such a good Annie.
Such a good Annie.
Mr. Stax.
Jamie
Foxx.
Guys,
if you haven't watched the newest Annie, it's so good.
It
and
is.
The music is so good. It's done by Sia.
It's Jackie's, like, favorite, underrated, like, favorite movie.
No, it's so, so good. Check it out. And it's, like, modern, and, you know, they have technology and cell phones, and, like, Mr. Stax, he's like a tech guy,
investor.
And he's also like running for mayor. It's just like really, really well done.
Mm.
Yeah, the stories are so layered.
But
also,
I think this one will be probably like the original Broadway play live on NBC.
Because it's going to be a chaotic live performance.
And I've missed the live performances.
Yeah, you know what? If getting back to real life means we have more NBC live productions in all of their chaotic glory, I'm here for it.
Me too, because you want to know why? Once again, it's just like fun to be a part of something. Like, we're all watching the same thing and like cringing at it. And it's a collective cringiness. And I love that, for one.
But on the off chance that they really get it right, it could be magic. Grease.
Does Taraji P. Henson sing?
I don't know. Well, she was in Empire, and that's a musical show.
Yeah, I never watched it, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
also
true.
Also, the network is launching a nationwide search for a young star to play Annie.
Like a titular orphan. Like a Nikki Blonsky.
Yeah.
Oh, first of all, I love that idea. But if we are casting, like, from Hollywood, who are you having play Annie? Who's, like, the next? Honestly, it should be Jacob Tremblay.
I agree.
Like, I don't know.
Jacob Tremblay is growing up, though.
I know. Maybe he could be one of the orphans.
Yeah. Well, I think it was just girls only.
Oh, was it?
When you think back on it, Molly and Piper.
Yeah. Okay, but so we have got Annie to cast. We've got Taraji. Who are Daddy Warbucks?
Yeah.
And Daddy Warbucks, like, is Jeff Bezos. Like, they look alike. They're both bald.
I think it should be Elon Musk. He obviously proves that he can act.
Yeah.
Sure, he can sing.
That's true.
I think that would be so good.
I think so, too.
And then also you need Daddy Warbucks' secretary, who he, like, falls in love with at the end.
Also, the dog, Theo.
Theo. Or I think Bruno's going to go out for the role. He's been feeling really confident, and he thinks that he can do it. And I am fully supportive.
It's just, like, a little awkward because, you know, like, Theo's already, you know, called his agent about it.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, Theo's going to have to work for it because Bruno is coming on.
You're
the
literally
scene.
Bruno is Santana, and Theo is Lea Michele in Glee when, like, she goes out for Fanny Bryce.
Yeah. And
she gets the understudy, yeah. Bruce can be Theo's understudy.
Sure. And then Theo mysteriously gets ill.
And then Bruno starts shitting blood.
Anyways, it's going to be really good, hopefully.
Hopefully.
But I think this bodes well.
And it's a great selection of like what the first kind of entree back into live theater, which can be so scary.
It's a great selection.
Yeah. So, and it's a great casting, Taraji P. Henson. So for now, I'm hopeful.
And it's a hard knock life. It's for a hard knock life. For us.
Actually, it's a great soundtrack.
It's a great soundtrack. It's camper friendly. Yes. It's camper oriented. I think they should get some of the campers in there. And I think Counselor should play Miss Hannigan in next time.
Oh my God. That kid who went viral, I forget, he won like a, not maybe not an Oscar, but like a SAG award. And he's crying in that video.
Yeah.
We need to get him in. Like, he's just like, he's the camper of the moment right now. What's his name?
I don't know.
I want to say it's Alan Kim. I'm not sure.
But unfortunately, like, male campers, there's no roles for them.
Find one.
Yeah.
He needs to be in Annie Live. Mm-hmm. Even though he's like kind of too good for like local theater, you know?
I don't know. It's a good, if you love the craft, it must be a good exercise.
What is your favorite most recently like done production of a live?
Grease.
Yeah. What about?
Fucking stellar.
Hairspray.
Hairspray. They didn't time it well. Everyone was out of breath.
Yeah. And Rent was a tragedy. Yeah, like everyone
was
breaking legs, getting sick. It was terrible.
They had to.
They used the dress rehearsal as like the live thing.
That was so chaotic, tragic. Yeah. Oh my God, I feel so bad for everyone involved.
100%.
Damn. Okay, ready for our next story?
Only if it's a story that's brought to you by Bruges.
It is. Ooh, it is. These two in this story are going to need a Bruges if they keep going the way they're going.
Well, wake up. And get yourself a Bruges, the best electric toothbrush on the market. It is the most affordable. A lot of electric toothbrushes can charge over $200, which is insane. Bruges is literally the most stunning. It works so well, and it's the most affordable. It comes with 6 unique modes that you can customize your brushing experience. The battery life lasts 4 weeks, so if you're going on a trip, you don't need to charge it. But also the magnetic charging stand is like very elegant, clutter-free. It looks great on your countertop, very Elon Musk approved. And it also comes with a compact travel case. They also offer a subscription program, so you're never stuck using a worn down brush head. They will ship you a new replacement head every 6 months, so you're never stuck using one that's old or has bacteria on it. You got to keep changing it, but you don't need to remember because Bruges will remind you with their subscription service. And they have brand new designs. We just got both colors. Jackie got the mauve, I got the green. They're so stunning, but they're seasonal, so they only last a certain amount of time. The electric toothbrush from Bruges has a modern, aesthetically pleasing design, and it comes in trend-driven seasonal colors that look great on your bathroom counter. Get 15% off your Bruges toothbrush kit and refill plan when you use promo code TOAST at Bruges.com. That's 15% off using promo code TOAST at Bruges.com.
Love it. Okay. Kristen Cavallari says she's charmed while hanging out with Southern Charm's Austin Kroll in Charleston. These two are really sounding like, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, they look like an item.
Yeah,
real.
But also, like, didn't we talk about this a year ago and it was like they weren't
in December? But like, I think in December they weren't an item. And she was dating someone else.
Yeah, comedian.
Yeah, Jeff Dye. But I think now they are an item. They were spotted together again in Charleston over the weekend after spending time with one another in December, a trip that sparked romance rumors that they denied. The two were once again reunited, hanging out at a South Carolina eatery, Leon's Oyster Shop. The pictures are so cute. They appear to be smiling in a photo, hanging out with Craig and another friend. And I think they're dating.
I mean, I support it. I think it's a really cute, like, really, like, stunning couple. I just don't know. Like, I don't know what to believe. I got so excited about this last time, and then it turned out to be nothing of the sort.
No, when I first heard it, I was like, there's no way they're dating. Like, she's just hanging out with them. Like, they're not dating. But now I think they are.
I hope so. Like, I do support it. I think it's a cute couple. But, like, when will we know for sure?
I don't know.
Also, did you hear about all this, like, divorce drama? Like, Jay Cutler wants half of Uncommon James in the divorce?
No.
Yeah, like, he's going after her business. Which is crazy, because, like, let her have her thing. Like, you made $150 million in 1 year playing football. Like,
yeah.
Leave Uncommon alone.
No, I haven't seen that. I gotta check it out.
It's getting messy. So hopefully she's
unfortunate.
Finding solace in the arms of a young stud from Southern Charm like Austin Kroll.
And I think that she is.
I hope so.
Yeah, I'm sure they like started out as friends. They didn't want to date. Like, I'm sure she was like not looking at him in that way.
Right.
But then, you know, love, you can't stop the forces.
And there's also rumors that Craig is dating Paige from Summer House.
But those rumors are not true.
Okay, I just, like, I'm still living in the world where, like, I would like for them to be true, so just don't bring me down.
100%, but I'm pretty sure, I don't know, I don't remember where I heard, but it's not true.
I just feel like
I just feel like this one's true.
I just feel like it could be, you know.
Though I do feel like Craig, Austin, Kristen, Paige, all
iconic
four,
quad.
An iconic quadrant.
Iconic couples doing iconic things, being iconic, and I fully support it, mm-hmm. even though no one's asking.
Yeah, no, 100%. Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
It's the final story. Do 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 boom. Do 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 cha cha. Do 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 do. Okay, yeah, what is it?
Okay, it's a little fashion news, and I would say this is the pinnacle of fashion.
This always happens. Whenever you say fashion news, you literally say it's a little fascist news. Like, I always think that's what you're gonna say because you put so much emphasis on fashion. I'm like, oh, well, what are the fascists up to today?
Oh my god, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
no, it's a little
fascist. It's not the first time. Again, like the way you just said it,
the words are similar.
No, I know, but like you're just putting a lot of emphasis on the sh.
It's a little fashion news.
Perfect.
Fashion. That's how I'll say it. Fashion. Stiletto Crocs are here to erase all of your pandemic comforts. Check out these bad boys.
Fucking stunning. Stunning.
You guys, high fashion never rests.
Never.
The comfort of the COVID-19 pandemic has taken a dangerous turn. Balenciaga has unveiled its latest collaboration with Crocs in the form of a narrow heel placed precariously on the sole of its trademark rubber clog. The monstrosity was unveiled at the fashion house's spring 2022 Balenciaga Clones collection showing and immediately drew the ire of pandemic-worn social media. Wait. Someone wrote, God has abandoned us.
But is the heel also rubber? I don't know how that works.
It looks like...
You'd be wobbling around
it
town.
It looks like it's of a similar ilk.
That is so stunning.
Like, you guys... It's so horrific.
We'll post on our Instagram.
But, you know, Crocs really did, they had their moment this year.
And no, like, Crocs, I'm telling you, like, they kind of leaned into, their marketing was so genius. They leaned into, like, the jokiness of Crocs being like, Crocs are ugly. Like, for years there have been memes, and they just kind of went along with it. And now Crocs have weirdly entered firmly into the zeitgeist.
No, and now they're entering high fashion. And I just want to say, like, I fully support Crocs. I love Crocs in general. I love the comfort and everything. I do believe we've taken it way too far. Yeah. With a Balenciaga collab, like, it's just wrong.
No, I know. And it's like, for so long, like, I think I've really agreed with a lot of the decisions the marketing team over at Crocs has done. Like, the Luke Combs collection was literally put them on the map. Justin Bieber collection was great. They just announced a Diplo collection. They're doing great collabs. This one... miss the mark.
Yeah, but like, watch us in a year, like, wearing Crocs stilettos
to my prom. Yeah,
yeah. No, like, oh, someone's cool is wearing them, look at us.
Yeah, you know? I'll try it. I mean, I'll try anything once.
I don't know it,
except like acid. I don't really feel like I would have fun doing acid.
I just don't think I think they're counterintuitive. A high heel is supposed to enhance a woman's leg, and the Croc does the opposite. So if your leg's not going to be enhanced, why are you wearing a high heel?
That is a stunning fashion analysis. Like, no more needs to be said.
Like, that's just really when you get down to it.
Yeah, it's a science at this point.
100%.
Let's do a little TV recap, because even though I promised I wasn't going to watch a Bachelorette, I did watch about 29 minutes of it, which was more than enough for me to know that I'm not going to continue to watch it. Also, Siesta Key was on last night, and we haven't recapped that in a while.
Well, I caught up on Siesta Key last night. I just, like, wasn't ready to read. I was just in a weird spot, and I was like, I just want to watch some, like, good reality TV. I've been meaning to catch up on Siesta Key, so I watched the first two episodes of the season, and I have so many thoughts.
Okay, good, because our TV recap is brought to you by Framebridge. You've heard us talk about Framebridge before, so you know they make it super easy and affordable to custom frame your favorite things, from print and posters to the photos on your phone. Father's Day is around the corner, and Dad doesn't want another pair of socks. The perfect gift is already on your phone. Just upload your photo and order by Tuesday, June 15th for guaranteed free delivery in time for Father's Day. Here's how it works. Go to framebridge.com and upload your photo. Preview your item online in any frame style. Choose your favorite or get free recommendations from their talented designers. The expert team at Framebridge will custom frame your item and deliver your finished piece straight to you. Or they can deliver to Dad in time for Father's Day when you place your order again by Tuesday, June 15th. Instead of the hundreds you'd pay at a traditional framing store, their prices start at $39 and all shipping is free. Plus, our listeners will get 15% off their first order at framebridge.com when they use the code TOAST. So for any occasion, I feel like Framebridge, especially if you're decorating your own home, is an amazing service to use. But with Father's Day, like, dads are so sentimental, and I feel like really just getting like a stunning photo of you guys framed, make it super nice. Framebridge takes care of all the hard part, and it's really affordable, so you just look like the best kid when you really put in minimal effort, and that's just ideal. Mm-hmm. Order a custom gift for any dad in your life. Go to framebridge.com and use promo code TOAST. You'll save an additional 15% off your first order. Just go to framebridge.com, promo code TOAST. Again, that's framebridge.com, promo code TOAST for 15% off your first order.
Love Framebridge. You know who needed Framebridge on Siesta Key? That fucking picture that artist made of Juliet. You guys, I was in shock. I didn't know what to expect. It was like a weird thing that Sam had this picture commissioned
by this girl,
right? By this girl that he hooked up with, like this thotty artist.
Yeah, the thottest.
But they also are bringing her onto the show, so it was like a good way to bring her onto the show. But like to have Synergy. Like this girl who clearly wants your man's paint a photo of you, like. How scary is that going to turn out? Because she's not going to make you look stunning.
Yeah.
And not only did she make Juliet look busted, upon closer inspection, she painted Juliet's face to look like herself. Her own. And it was just shocking, hysterical. I hope they put that picture in the fire.
Isn't it crazy just like how far so many of the castmates like have come? Like when you watch Brandon's storyline, like it is shocking.
Well, I don't watch Brandon's storyline. That's the only storyline I have to fast forward. And what's so crazy is his storyline is actually the most interesting. Yeah. Plot and you know,
so real
turn of events, but I can't watch him. I'm sorry. Like it's too slow and mind numbing and the conversations are too painful.
No, the girl, it's not even like his girlfriend. Like it's just like this girl who he had a baby with. The way that she stares at him, like she wants to eat him. Like
no,
she's so obsessed and in love with him. Like I almost want them to just like be a family.
No, totally. I watched the first scene of the first episode enough to know that I wasn't going to continue on with Brandon's scenes, but it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Like the fact that he got himself like in this position.
I know.
And now he has to like deal with the consequences of his really bad choices.
I mean, when that girl told him that she was pregnant and he blocked her on social media until she gave birth, like, that's atrocious behavior.
Atrocious behavior. And so now and my only issue with Siesta Key is there's so much stuff that happens between this group of friends. Like every day, something new. And the show doesn't capture it. We only get the conversations talking about what just happened. Mm-hmm. And the conversations are so painful sometimes. So I'm like, they honestly need to put these people in a house together so we see every single thing that happens.
I just feel like a lot of it has to do with COVID. Like,
no, yeah. No, but that's why, I mean, Sam J-Lo got an island on... I mean, this probably happened a few weeks ago if you watch live, but for me, the next episode I'm watching, they're going to an island. So I think they're going to solve that issue that I'm having.
Yeah.
But it's crazy how much drama unfolds and how the dynamics are constantly changing.
No, and it's like for me, like I can't relate to it because like I've had the same friends for 25 years and I've made no new friends since then. But like the way like Juliet and Kelsey, best friends forever, like can't be separated. Now they can't stand each other. Like, to be so wishy-washy with your friends is, like, crazy.
Yeah, and it was giving me, like, it was making me a little sad because it's, like, Kelsey and Juliet were such good friends. I wish they could be good friends again, but, like, can Juliet ever trust Kelsey? Like, imagine these are your closest friends and you can't even trust them.
And you go to her boyfriend and say she's using you for her money. Like, it's horrible.
Horrible. So it's just, like, such crazy stuff happens. But they brought on some new cast members who I like. I mean, Brandon's ex... I think is so great and I mm-hmm. hope she stays on the show. Madison, it's so crazy like the genesis that I've had with these people because
yes!
Like, in the first season I was like everybody's obsessed with this girl Madison, like what?
And now I'm like,
and
she's
now
a queen.
I'm like, Madison is the queen of this show. Like she's just on another level.
She's so mature and maybe that's because she's dating an older man.
Yeah.
But she really is like on another like intellectual level.
She really, really is. And I mean, Juliet's still the queen of the show and I love her so much and it really bothers me that Kelsey's like, I don't think you're happy in your relationship. And it's like, you don't even care about me. So why do you care if I'm happy or not?
And like, how do you know? Like, I don't even talk to you.
Because I think, I don't know that much, but I think Juliet's happy in her relationship.
Me too.
Like I see her Instagram. Like she seems really happy.
She's on private jets. She's doing just
like,
fine.
How bad could it be?
Right. You know?
And also like, even their conversations, I saw someone like, commented like Sam's kind of awkward on the show, which is, by the way, like that's what you want out of your boyfriend, not to be a natural
Robbie Hayes.
Right. And I right, just right, feel right. like he I feel like he really loves Juliet for Juliet.
I by the way, I agree. I think he's like so cute. He's definitely weird like on the show, but like you're right. What do you want? A professional actor? Like that's always shady and those are the people who are just gonna fuck you over and use you for your platform or whatever.
100% Robbie Hayes.
Yeah. So like okay, so she went from having someone who was like too good on the show, now people are like, he's weird. I think it's good. It's a good sign.
I think it's a good sign too. So anyways, it was been a really like a pleasure to watch and the visuals just keep getting more
stunning.
And more stunning, but some of it is so, so funny. And the art, oh my God, I was I was in shock.
I watched the first 30 minutes of The Bachelorette because I was like, it was 8 o'clock and I'm like, I'm literally doing nothing. Like, okay. So I watched it and I was, of course, watching it at 50%, maybe even 25%. And it took 30 minutes for us to actually meet a guy. And right when the first guy stepped out of the limo, I just turned it off because here's what I analyzed from my 29 minutes on the show. First, they're filming it at a Hyatt in New Mexico. And it's just giving me like how low budget Tayshia and Claire's was. Like, it's giving me the same budget energy. It's not giving me Nima Colin energy. I feel like The Bachelor has a much higher production budget just based on what I've seen. Like, that Tayshia season when they got engaged in that rock, like, it was pathetic. Like, it was. And now it's like we're getting the same thing. It's like it's a big ass property that seemingly looks nice, but it's like a fucking model home inside. Like, and I just know all the dates are going to be on this Hyatt property, and I'm just not in the mood to have. I had to survive through quarantine. I don't need to watch these other people do it. This group of guys was even, I only saw like the first like 10. They were just like especially losery and giving me like super desperation vibes. There was one guy who was a firefighter who, I'm not gonna lie, like was really cute.
And according to the Snatcher's Instagram, Greg is
yeah, a good I didn't guy. Really feel like he was all that special. I don't know why everyone was like simping over him. And then there was a guy who was a motivational speaker, which I just feel like is a really thirsty job. It reminds me of, you know, like Caitlyn Jenner. Like, I just feel like.
No, but like that would also mean that the person is like a decorated Olympian.
No, but like, I feel like this is going to be like maybe like offensive. I just feel like it's a fake job. So no, like, I feel like you go on The Bachelor to get followers for your motivational speaking company.
Unless you are a decorated Olympian.
Right.
It's a fake job.
Yeah. Like, what? No offense. Like, who are you? Why should you motivate me?
100%.
What have you accomplished?
No, you know who's a motivational speaker? Robbie Hayes.
Yeah, it's the same vibe. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I just feel like that job is, it's a red flag.
It's people who post on Instagram, like, rise and grind. And then yes. And then you motivated someone.
Yeah, so, like, I feel like there are certain jobs when you come on The Bachelor, like, of course, like, when McKenna went on and she was a fashion blogger. Red flag. Like, that just is a red flag. Motivational speaker, like, gave me major red flag vibes. And then just, like, all these guys were so unremarkable. Mm-hmm. And to me, like, I couldn't differentiate who was who. And Katie was just giving me nothing. Like, the whole, you know, they have to latch on to something. So, Kate, you know.
What's her thing?
Sex positive. Because she brought a dildo. Which, great. I think being sex positive is awesome. Unfortunately, it's not a personality trait. And, no. Like, you're going to have to talk about other stuff. So, yeah. Like, I was just, and all the, like, the few things that I saw, like, the guys were just, like, trying to, like, mimic. You know, it's kind of how Colton was a virgin. And, like, that was all the jokes. And it got really annoying really fucking fast. This is the same thing. So I don't like die for Katie enough to make me stay. I did want to see the dynamic without Chris Harrison and with Tayshia and Caitlin. And here's what I will say. There is a palpable feeling of something missing, something guiding the show. Caitlin and Tayshia are great. They're funny. They bring like a sense of happiness and positivity and security to Katie. But that's not enough in my opinion. I don't feel like their job was to steer the show as much as Chris used to. And the show was missing that element of, like, who's in charge here? Like, there's no direction. It's kind of just, like, chaos in New Mexico.
Yeah.
So I say I won't watch, but maybe I will. But for now, I'm all set.
Got it. Well, thank you for your recap. If you want more, head over to The Snatcher. New episode is up now. I can't wait to listen and hear what she has to say.
And the episode is not over because if you're listening as a podcast, you're about to hear our interview and Dear Toaster segment with the one and only Chelsea Handler, comedian, icon, podcaster. And if you're watching on YouTube and you want to catch the video of us and Chelsea, it's on our channel now. Check that out. And thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast. We'll see you tomorrow for Hump Day.
Yes. Goodbye.
Bye. Good morning, millennials. We are so excited to welcome to the podcast a comedy icon and now a fellow podcaster, Chelsea Handler. Hello, Chelsea. Thank you so much for being here. We're so honored and humbled to have you joining the prestigious circle of podcasters. You're really elevating our brand, and we really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. You're very welcome, girls.
Okay, you have a new podcast, Dear Chelsea, advice-based podcast. First of all, you've done everything. You've conquered, like, TV, books. Why podcasting?
Well, I mean, everybody has a podcast, so obviously I had one, and then I had a first one when I was on my book tour like 2 years ago, and then when I was done with, it was a limited one, when I was done, they said, well, you should do another one, a more long-term one, and I just wanted to figure out a way to do it in a more creative way than just adding to the mix of podcasts, and I thought, you know what, who's more unqualified to give advice than me?
Yes.
100%. Yeah. So the format of your podcast, Dear Chelsea, you have people submit advice and you just give your take on it based on your life experience. How and why did you land on that format? Like, is it important to you to be able to connect with people listening to the podcast? Why'd you choose that?
Well, because I've been through a lot of therapy and people do come to me a lot for problems. Like, I'm a crisis manager. I'm very good in a crisis. So I figured, oh, what would be a good way to not make this just another vanity project, to make it about other people instead of making it about myself? So it was a great way to connect with people, you know, have my fans call in. People call in with real serious problems.
Yeah.
And if I'm out of my wheelhouse, you know, I have an expert come in or somebody who specializes in eating disorders or, you know, a psychiatrist or something like that, you know, depending on what the problems are. So yeah, it's been really good. I mean, some problems are really stupid and those are fun. And yeah. Some are really, really serious.
Well, we're going to get your take because we have some listeners with some questions for you. But what would you say is your style of advice giving? Like, are you someone who's super prudent? Like, what Claudia and I are,
we differ a lot.
We differ in terms of the advice that we give, but what's your style?
I'm tough. I'm like, listen, you know, I want everyone to be a little bit braver and a little bit bolder. And I want you to go be your best self, you know, and like appreciate and love and worship yourself. So I'm all about getting everybody to be standing in their power a little bit more. But yeah, I don't have any time for bullshit.
I am pretty much the same way. And where Jackie and I really differ the most is we get a lot of messages, and one today in particular about snooping through like your boyfriend's phone. Are you a snoop or not to snoop kind of gal?
Yeah, I think snooping is okay.
I completely agree.
I'm anti-snoop.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's like, I have a right to go through your phone if I'm dating you, and you have a right to go through mine, and No. That's where we'll leave it.
See, that's where I draw the line. I'm allowed to go through your phone, but if you even come within 5 feet of my phone, I'm chopping your fucking hand off.
See, that's how I don't care if anyone goes through my phone. There's nothing that I have that's secretive. You know what I mean?
Really? That's so funny. Okay, well, you have a million projects going on. New HBO Max comedy special, your first in 6 years. It's called Evolution. It's much different than a lot of the stuff you've done. It's very, like, introspective. Why has it been so long since you released a comedy special?
I just didn't really have that much to say. You know what I mean? I got sick of my own voice and sick of stand-up when there wasn't something really, like, you know, more meaning behind it.
Yeah.
So this one felt more like, oh, I could make a special that says something instead of just, you know, making a bunch of jokes that lead nowhere. It was more of like a story and a narrative. So I loved it. I went back and then I found, you know, fell in love with doing stand-up again. So that's fun. I wasn't expecting to do that.
Yeah. And the vibe is like palpably different. And I feel like where we really connected, we talk a lot about on the show about grief because our dad passed away when we were in high school. And you really go into that on the special. And I'm curious if you have a piece of advice for people listening who are either dealing with grief or just mourning the loss of someone or something.
Well, I think it's a good way to look. It's just to, you know, I look at it like no one's ever gone. You know, energy doesn't die. It transforms. And that's just science. So clearly, you know, there's different, probably, someone said this to me the other day about life and death. He said, when you're born, you know, before you're born, you're in the womb, you know, you're in a sack of fluid and you have no exposure to anything or anyone. And basically, that's one dimension. And when you're born, you come into the world and that's another dimension. And so if you think of dying as being born, you're just kind of slipping into another dimension. It doesn't mean you're not here where I can see you, but you're here still. And I know that to be true because I'm so much closer to my mom now that she's dead than I was when she was alive. Yeah. I talk to my mom all the time and I know when she's around and I know when she's not.
Yeah, I think I actually completely agree. And I feel like it's very comforting for me and for people who are grieving, just at the thought of like, it's not like poof, gone. Cause that's like the hardest part of losing someone. It's like waking up one day and the person who used to be there is just like not there anymore.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. It's very hard to obviously get through this, you know, and I'm sorry for your loss, but it's nice to see that you have each other to lean on, you know, because that's really what it's all about. It's about being able to share the experience together and be able to like go through your grief, you know, don't try and cover it up or stuff it down or push it away. It's like, if you can sit and go with your grief and sit in your grief, you get through the anguish and the pain much quicker than if you try and just, you know, deflect or not talk about it or anything like that.
Yeah. And if you try and like, you know, do it yourself, like I feel like for so long I was like, I don't want to talk about it with anyone. Like I'll deal with it myself. But like when you have good people around you, it's so beneficial to like lean on them because no human being is meant to go through that alone. It's so difficult.
Yes, absolutely. No, that's what your friends are for. And it's, you know, it's a powerful thing to ask for help. And it doesn't feel that way. A lot of people have a hard time with that. I definitely did for a long time until I realized, like, you know, vulnerability doesn't have to be weakness. It is a strength. It's a strength to be vulnerable, to have enough confidence in yourself to tell the truth, whether it makes you look sad, angry, you know, selfish or self-absorbed or whatever. It's really important to be truth, like, you know, honest with yourself about what you're going through and to go through it, not to try and hopscotch around it.
100%. Because it comes out in other ways regardless. It's coming out, totally. It's coming out of somewhere.
Yeah, because otherwise it taps you on the shoulder like 20 years later and you're like, whoa, fuck, what is this?
No, 100%. And I feel like it actually gets harder the more time that, like, the more space that's put between you and like the moment of loss. Like, I feel like I'm in a worse place now than I was like when I in high school, like the first day of freshman year when my dad like dropped out of a heart attack. Like, I feel like I'm actually dealing with it worse now because I didn't deal with it very well as a child.
Right. Well, you didn't have the articulation. Like, you didn't have the words to describe that kind of pain. So now as an adult, you're like, oh, now you want to, it's like delayed grief, right?
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yeah, it's worse.
I know.
One more thing I wanted to ask you about before we get your advice, because I'm really curious to hear your takes on some of these things. You've been talking a lot on your podcast, but also in your special about like your wellness journey with cannabis. And I'm curious how you got into that and like what are some of the benefits? Is that something we should be doing?
Yeah, totally. Microdosing cannabis is a great way to get through the day. And it really helps like accent certain situations. You know what I mean? For me, I have a patience problem. Like, I find people incredibly annoying when they're slow or when they like things take too long, you know, like transactions take too long. So for me, it sands down the edges in that way where I can just be like, oh, who gives a shit? You know, I'm not going to get upset about that. And it mellows me out. And I also love it for sleep. But for other people, you know, and like even for writing, for punching stuff up, you know, there are certain edibles that kind of give you an upper. And so I love that feeling. I love to get creative on them. But you have to just direct your own experience, you know, and with microdosing now, everything is labeled. You know exactly what you're putting in and what you're getting. It's not like you're getting a cookie, you know, at a party filled with pot and you don't know what's in it. It's so easy to kind of, so it's not that the point isn't to, for me to feel like, oh, completely out of control or blottoed. It's just supposed to enhance different experiences. So you kind of use it. Like, I don't want cannabis to use me. I want to use cannabis, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool. Interesting. Gotta try that out.
Gotta look into it. Yeah. Especially those transactions. That's where my patience runs. Thin.
That's where my edges need to be sanded down for
the
sure.
The self-checkout machine.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. If I knew how to use a self-checkout machine, I would love that.
Oh my God, it's torture.
It really is.
Okay, so we do a weekly advice segment called Dear Toasters. People write in about all their different problems at work and their relationship. We've selected a few that we would love to get your advice on, and we'll read them to you and you let us know what you think.
Okay.
Okay.
First up, Dear Toasters, so here's the situation. I'm about to be 25 years old and I've never had sex. Don't get me wrong, I've done stuff, but never sex. It's not that I haven't had the opportunity to, I just haven't met the person I want to experience that with yet. I'm not waiting for marriage, and at this point, I'm not really even waiting to be in love, but I just wanted to be with someone that I like and trust and am in a committed relationship with. I've never been in a relationship either. I'm very picky and have only dated 3 guys I could see that happening with. My question is, now that I'm approaching 25, I feel like this is a huge turnoff for guys. I'm worried that I'll meet a guy I like and feel I want to grow our relationship, but once he finds out I'm a 25-year-old virgin, he will want to bounce. How do you think I should approach this issue when dating in the future without scaring them away? I've had friends tell me I don't even have to tell the guy, but I don't think that's smart, especially if I want to be in a healthy relationship with them. I've also had people tell me they won't care, but I just don't buy that. Any advice or insight would be much appreciated, since you all have great insight. Thank you. RDH virgin.
What do you think?
Well, that's old to not have had sex, but if she really wants to wait, then that's her decision. You know, I mean, if you, and stop projecting all of the things that are going to go wrong about if you don't do it. And if you tell your next boyfriend that he's not going to want you, I mean, that is, you're creating a total negative dialogue in your head that doesn't even exist yet. So like, we all do this. We all have these voices in our head that sets up all the things that could go wrong, but instead of thinking about all the things that could go right. My advice, if she was looking to have sex, I'd be like, just find somebody to have sex with soon so you can get the ball rolling. And then, you know, if you can't, if you really want to be with somebody that you trust and you're in a relationship with, then yeah, you got to make the effort to make that happen. And but, don't worry about you being a virgin. Some guy's going to love that.
Yeah. Right. I think the road of not telling someone is deeply problematic, and I really don't suggest that at all.
Yeah. I think, but I also think, like, it's clearly a big, something that's important to her, and I think that the right person for her will appreciate this about her, and I think it could be a nice thing. Maybe she'll meet a fellow virgin.
A fellow virgin.
Yeah, yes. That's great. Yeah, that's true. There's probably virgin sites out there where virgins can hook up with other virgins, right?
Totally. I feel like virginhood has been like really like a bad stigma ever since Colton Underwood like went on The Bachelor and like everyone made fun of him for being like a 29-year-old virgin. But it's a choice and it's lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a choice.
I agree with you, Chelsea. I wouldn't focus on the negative things that could happen. Like, wait for those things to happen, and then we can worry about
it. Right, like these potential scenarios are just living rent-free in your mind when they literally are not even ever going to happen.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Set yourself up for success.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, next one. Dear Toasters, I need advice. My long-term boyfriend and I had a COVID breakup. There was no bad blood, no cheating or anything like that. I just felt we were in different places in life and I needed my space. We left things as we both need space and time to work on ourselves, and we'll see what happens in the future if it's meant to be. Fast forward 4 months post-breakup and he reaches out to me saying he still loves me and wants to try and work it out. But the thing is, I had a rough night one night a few weeks ago and decided to log into his Instagram because I know his password. I know this is wrong and horrible, but I couldn't help myself. His DMs were filled with him messaging other girls, so much flirting and talking about planning dates, it made me sick to my stomach. Now, I don't know what to do. I can never admit I read his DMs, but it's caused me so much confusion. Do I want him back now because I'm jealous and he's getting attention from other girls? Does he actually want to get back together with me? If so, why is he planning other dates? Also, part of me is like, fuck you for sliding into other girls' DMs while I'm just over here working on myself. Any advice? Love, a very confused toaster.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Well, weren't they broken up, she said? Were they broken up?
Yeah.
And they were supposed to be working on themselves, and he's working on the DMs, and she feels like he can't really want to get back together with her if he's been, like, spending all this time.
Right. Also, if I were her, I would feel like, you know, he shot his shot, and it didn't seem like the girls
were
responding, and so he's back to her. I don't know. This would rub me the wrong way.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's already rubbed. Like, the whole thing is already cut him loose. Like, it's already, there's bad vibes going around. If you're scrolling through his phone like that, like, I'm all for it. You know, like, I am all for going through someone's phone, but not in this circumstance because they're not together. They're not in a relationship. You know what I mean? So,
I agree.
You already overstepped.
Yeah.
And that was invasive. So there's just too much ickiness around this. So it's better to cut the cord and move on, I think.
There's a reason it didn't work out. Like, this is obviously not your person. So I wouldn't invest any more time or energy into, like, scrolling through his DMs or even giving this any more effort because you've already decided this is not the man for you.
Yeah, you broke up for a reason. I would stick with that gut instinct.
Yeah.
And then I think the DMs, you can use those to just further solidify why you need to move on.
100%.
Okay, third and final. Dear Toasters, I need to know if I'm being a bitch. My boyfriend of 3.5 years and I have a very honest and trusting relationship. We're transparent with each other about who we hang out with. We both have close friends of the opposite sex, etc. But this is something I was not prepared for. My ex-boyfriend recently got hired at my current boyfriend's job and they work very closely together. They're becoming work friends and are spending most of their workday together. This aggravates the shit out of me. This guy is my ex for a reason. He made my life miserable. I don't understand why my boyfriend is okay with palling around with someone who was once so horrible to me. I talked to him about it and he brushed it off because they're just work friends. My question is, am I overreacting? We've never been the type of couple that says you can't be friends with this person. I don't know how to feel. Thank you, a bitter, aggravated toaster.
But we don't know what level of abusive he was, right? Like,
right.
What, emotionally abusive, physically abusive? What are we talking about?
Right.
Well, I mean, either one isn't really acceptable, but yeah, that's so annoying. I hate when people are not loyal. Like, I fucking hate that shit. You know, your boyfriend isn't even protective over you. Like, that drives me up a wall if you have a boyfriend that's not like, no, I'm never going to hang out with that guy.
Yeah.
So, her boyfriend sounds like a little bit of a dud. I think she should be fucking pissed.
Yeah. It's like, it's seemingly not a big deal, but there's actually a lot of undercover red flags about this. Like, first of all, just respect the fact that I don't want you hanging out with this person. Don't, like, fight me back so you can have, like, a bromance with your work friend. And second of
all,
like, he shouldn't like this guy. Like, if this guy was however he was to you, like, and he knows about it, he should, like, punch him in the office and get suspended and go to HR.
I agree. Yeah. I don't think you're being a bitch. I think this is cause for concern.
Yeah. I mean, you might be, yeah. I mean, if it wasn't like a real, like if the relationship was okay and they broke up and she just didn't like how it ended and they're hanging out, then she kind of is overreacting. But if he truly is an asshole, you know, like, and did things that are kind of unforgivable, then yeah, your boyfriend shouldn't be hanging out with him. Agreed. Yeah. And your boyfriend needs to get a spine. What is he, Lindsey Graham?
No, this is some spineless, like, first season housewife kind of shit.
There's other people in the workplace to pal around with.
100%. You work at a startup? Like, how many people work there?
There's always other coworkers.
Always. Well, that is our show. Everyone, Chelsea's podcast with iHeartRadio is called Dear Chelsea. It's available anywhere you get your podcasts. Her new special, Evolution, is streaming on HBO Max. Thank you so much for being here. You're an icon. We love you, and you're the best.
Love you, girls. Thanks. Have a great day.
Bye, guys. Thank you.